It's no secret that movies play a big part in where we want to spend our vacations. They inspire us, they take us out of ourselves, and they have us dreaming about visiting the locations we've seen in films and on TV. Hollywood blockbusters take relatively unknown places and suddenly shoot them to the top of everyone's travel bucket list. And France has had its fair share of those Hollywood moments over the years, and more recently with TV shows such as Emily in France. But which are the top destinations to visit in France if you want to relive one of your favourite movies? Well, before I tell you, I want to remind you to go to lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast, because that way you will be able to look at the photos of these amazing places, you'll be able to click on links to find out how to visit them, and you'll get to know everything you ever wanted to know about France, as well as sign up for those special offers that I hear about, the deals on hotels, tours, and so much more. Bonjour and welcome to the Life in Rural France podcast. I'm Kylie Lang, a British blogger living in the beautiful Charente region of rural France with my long-suffering hubby Richard and border collie Lottie. Now, unlike most people, moving to France hasn't always been my dream, but that didn't stop me jumping at the chance when hubby, who has never lived anywhere other than Leeds, England, suggested we go live in France. And 6+ years later, we're still here, living in a property we've renovated and a life that if you told me 10 years ago I'd be leading, I would not have believed you. But it's not all about me on this podcast. I'm going to be sharing the hidden gems I've discovered in France, some fascinating stories about French history, and plenty of culture thrown in for good measure. So I invite you to join me on this journey of living in a tiny French commune, getting to grips with learning French, singing to ABBA in the fields, walking my dog, and discovering the joys of the rural life. One thing I can promise you is it won't be boring. And who knows what we might discover together on this roller coaster ride of life in rural France. How many times have you watched a movie and thought to yourself, I've got to go there? I know I have. In fact, in 2022, I got to fulfill a lifelong dream to go to Salzburg and see Where the Sound of Music was filmed. I have been a fan of that movie ever since I can remember. I've seen it more times than I can count. I am absolutely word perfect. I was Liesel when I was growing up. Then I was Maria. Then I married a captain. Oh, honestly, the daydreams I had about that movie are insane. But it was amazing when I went. I took my mum and we did a girly week in Austria and we did the Sound of Music tour. We ate Wiener Schnitzel and basically had the best time ever. I even got to go to the place where they sang Do Re Mi, posing with the statues. My poor mum, she was the official photographer. It is a trip I will never forget. But what about movies set in France? Which movie locations do you think have inspired me? Well, there's a few. And I'm going to start off in Provence, in the Côte de Luberon. And we're starting with the movie A Good Year, which was filmed in 2006. It starred Russell Crowe and Marion Cotillard. And it was based on Peter Mayle's novel A Year in Provence. And it's that novel has pretty much put Provence on the map. But the movie, it does a wonderful job of showcasing the stunning scenery of Provence. It gives you that picturesque glimpse into the region's vineyards, the villages, the landscape. It is the movie that first made me want to go to Provence. But Chateau Le Canorgue in Luberon is the primary setting for the film's vineyard scenes. And it's a real working vineyard, but it's not open to the public. And on their website, they've got quite snotty about it. I think over the years, they've had teams of tourists turning up expecting to do like a movie tour, and they can't. They're a real life vineyard. So it is quite funny. On their website, they refer to the fact, we are not open to the public. You cannot come in. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do the other, but you can order our wine. So it is worth going to have a look because you can walk around the outside. It's breathtaking views. You just can't go in and tour the movie spots. There was another couple of villages that were showcased in the movie. One of them was Bonheur. And that is a really good example of the charm of Provence. It has stone houses, you know, those narrow streets, panoramic views, and it is where some of the film's key scenes are set. But the memorable outdoor dinner scene actually takes place around the pond in Couqueron, which is another picturesque village in the Luberon area. And it does a fantastic job of capturing that laid-back lifestyle that they showcase in the movie. And it almost made me want to move to Provence and buy a vineyard. It was that good. Now, I have a friend who has worked on a vineyard, still works on a vineyard. In fact, she's going to be a guest on the show in a couple of weeks' time. And it is hard work. It's not for the faint of heart. But, you know, movies, it allows you to dream. It's what dreams were made of. So, you know, you can daydream. Why not? Next on the list is Sarlat. And it's in the Dordogne, or to give it its full name, Sarlat-la-Canéda. And it's in the Dordogne, as I say. And it was actually Ever After, a Cinderella story starring Drew Barrymore that was filmed there in 1998, which also happens to be the year my daughter was born. And she loved this movie growing up. Little did I know that I was going to end up living just 2 hours from one of the main villages used in the film. It is stunning, but it's really well known for its medieval architecture and its historic time. And you just feel as though you are stepping back in time. It's got Gothic and Renaissance buildings. You've got the market square. And it's also home to the Truffle Festival, which is held every year in January. Now, there were two chateaus that were used in this particular movie, Chateau de Hautefort and Chateau de Fanelon. And they were both used as locations for the fairy tale castle, and they are open to the public to visit. So if you go to my website, lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast, you will be able to see this podcast episode on that page, and there are links to the chateaus, there's links to the Truffle Festival, and pretty much everything that I'm talking about in this episode. Now, Sarlat was also used in the filming of the 1998 movie The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc. So obviously Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orleans, you know, the one that burnt at the stake. So there's been other movies as well that Sarlat has been used for, and the tourist board there are very proud of the fact that their little village has been the star of some Hollywood movies. So next, we're moving on to Flavigny-sous-Ozerain, which is in Burgundy. Now, another medieval village, but it shot to cinematic fame in the setting for the movie Chocolat. So Chocolat was filmed in 2000. It starred Juliette Binoche, Johnny Depp, and Judi Dench. And this one really holds a special place in my heart because my daughter was a competitive figure skater. She's now retired. But one of the big skates she did was a program that was choreographed to the soundtrack of Chocolat. And I've always loved the movie. I've always loved the movie, but I love the soundtrack, and it brings back many happy memories now. But the movie was set in the late 1950s, and it's a comedy drama, and it tells the story of Vian, played by Juliette Binoche. And she arrives in this small French village with her young daughter, and she opens a chocolaterie, and she just causes a stir with all these conservative townspeople because they're set in their way and they don't want to embrace change. And one of the villagers who takes a shine to her is another outcast, a gypsy, Rue, and he's not accepted. And things get complicated. Vian continues to challenge the traditions of the village. She finds herself almost shut down, but her new friends in the village and her loyal customers stand by her. And the movie just ends with a celebration and an understanding that everyone is different. Everyone is unique in their own way. But the village sits on a hilltop and it overlooks the picturesque Ozerain Valley. And it really did make the perfect location for the chocolate shop. And there were lots of great shots of the village. There's a few scenes that are set in and around the church there as well. And as you walk through Flavigny, nothing's really changed. It's almost as though you're stepping directly onto the set of Chocolat. And the village's cobbled streets, the old buildings, that tranquil ambiance, it really does mirror the movie's setting. Now, the chocolate shop from the movie isn't there anymore, but you can kind of still feel the chocolate shop spirit as you walk through. And the village itself is actually famous for Annie de Flavigny, which are candies, Annie being aniseed. And they're produced in the abbey there, which you can visit. It's a great place to go. There's lots to see and do. It's beautiful countryside in that part of France. And of course, you'll be stepping onto a real life movie set. So now for one of my favourite French cities, Carcassonne in the Aude. Carcassonne has it shot to fame for a trilogy of books, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But the movie that was filmed here in 1991 was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, starring Kevin Costner. Now, Carcassonne is a walled city. It's in the Languedoc region of southern France, and it is known for being a medieval citadel. But the cité is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's got these double-walled fortifications. It's got a castle, there's numerous watchtowers, but honestly, it's cobbled streets, the Gothic cathedral, the picturesque buildings. It just transports you back in time. So it's a perfect, ideal filming location for period pieces. It was also the setting for the Kate Moss trilogy of books. And the first book, Labyrinth, was actually made into a TV miniseries in 2012. I don't think it's available. I've looked for it and I've not been able to find it on Netflix or Amazon or any of the usual places. But it had a good cast and it was filmed here in the city, in Carcassonne and the surrounding areas. But it was that trilogy of books by Kate Moss that made me fall in love with Carcassonne. Now, I've been a couple of times now, but the first time I went, it was my birthday and we went for a long weekend and I've never been somewhere like it because you feel as though, again, I keep saying this, but this one even more so, you feel like stepping onto a Hollywood movie set. And I went everywhere. I needed to explore everything. I actually made a note of everywhere that Kate Moss had spoken about. And I did my own little Kate Moss tour and discovered all the places that were in her books. I clambered over the ramparts. I visited the Chateau Comtal. I went to the Bastide. Oh my God, it was just magical. And I'm really hoping to go for a third trip in December because I really want to see the Christmas market there. But they hold an amazing music festival throughout the month of July. And it starts, if I remember rightly, right at the beginning of July, because when I was there over my birthday, it had begun. And they have some amazing acts. When I was there, they had Tom Jones. Like, they're big named acts. And you can just imagine, can't you, sitting there listening to the music with this backdrop of this medieval city with its walled, you know, fortifications and what have you as the backdrop. Doesn't get much better, really. Move over Vegas. It is time for Monte Carlo on the French Riviera. Now, not that we ever need an excuse to visit the French Riviera, but it's even sweeter when you know it's been featured in countless movies. And one of my favourites is called Monte Carlo. And it starred Selena Gomez. And it was filmed in 2011. Now, I have to admit, I absolutely love this movie. I have seen it countless times, but it's just so easy to watch. No, it's never going to win any Oscars, but it features so many wonderful places. And it was a firm favourite of my daughter's when we were living in Lake Arrowhead. We'd often get snowed in because we'd have snowfalls of up to 10 feet. And this was one of the movies we would watch. But the story follows Grace. She's a recent high school graduate from Texas, and she dreams of travelling to Paris with her best friend, Emma. Unfortunately, Grace's mum decides she needs a chaperone in the form of her uptight stepsister, Meg. And things kind of go from bad to worse. The trio lose their tour bus. They get caught in the rain. They have no idea where they're going. And then their luck changes because Grace is mistaken for a British socialite, Cordelia Winthrop Scott. And before they know it, they are whisked to Monte Carlo for a charity auction. One thing leads to another, and eventually Grace is found out. Everything comes tumbling down around them, but it's a feel-good movie, and it's romantic. And of course, a romantic rom-com, you're going to have a happy ending. But the key scenes are set around a fictional hotel, and it's called Hotel de Paris, which is supposedly situated in the heart of Monte Carlo, near the famous Casino Square. And it really does capture the essence of Monte Carlo's luxury. You get these great views of, you know, the casinos, the Mediterranean Sea, the grand hotels. And one of my favourite scenes plays La Vie en Rose as fireworks are going off against the backdrop of Monte Carlo. doesn't get much better. And it was also the setting for GoldenEye, the 1995 James Bond movie starring Pierce Brosnan, and Iron Man 2, which was released in 2010. So can you think of any other movies that were set in Monte Carlo? I'm sure you can if you think hard enough. Well, next on our list is Lyon. And Lyon is the food capital of France. And the film we're going to talk about is Paris Can Wait, which was filmed in 2016 and stars Diane Lane as Anne, who has embarked on a road trip from Cannes to Paris with her husband's business associate, played by Arnaud Viard. And the film is just this delightful journey through some of France's most picturesque landscapes. It's got renowned cuisine, it's got rich culture, and a big part of the story unfolds in and around Lyon. So it doesn't focus on specific landmarks within Lyon, but it does capture the essence of the culinary scene through various different scenes that are set in local restaurants and markets. And it really showcases the region's gastronomic delights, which is one of the reasons I love it. But the characters just indulge in the pleasure of French cuisine, which I absolutely love. And the film does a really great job of just emphasizing the city's charm and the importance of, you know, just taking time to enjoy life's journey. You know, it's a leisurely pace and it really allows you as the viewer to just savor the beauty of the French countryside. That passage through Lyon, it really highlights the city's appeal. So if you've never been and you want to know why you should go to Lyon, watch Paris Can Wait. Our next one is, I don't reckon you've ever heard of San Antonin Noble Val, which is in the Tarn et Garonne. I hadn't till I watched this movie, but the movie is called The 100-Foot Journey, and it was filmed in 2014, and it stars Helen Mirren. And it is set in the sleepy village of San Antonin Noble Val, which I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it or not, but it's how I'm pronouncing it. And it tells the story of the Kadam family, who left India to open an Indian restaurant in the village, directly across the street from a Michelin-starred restaurant owner, who, of course, is played by Helen Mirren. There's this ensuing rivalry, which eventually does give way to mutual respect. And there's this lovely blend of the two culinary cultures. And as I love Indian food and I love French food, I really enjoyed watching this movie. They didn't need to do much by way of set building because the village just provided this perfect backdrop for the film's, you know, exploration of these cultural contrasts and harmonies, and the narrow cobblestone streets, which I seem to always be talking about, you know, those ancient facades and just the natural beauty of the surrounding landscape. It really enhances the story's theme of home, belonging, and that fusion of different culinary traditions. So if you visit, you can actually walk the same streets featured in the film. You can explore that local market that is quite pivotal in several scenes within the movie. And, you know, it just is a lovely, lovely place to go. So make sure you go to the website if you want to really understand my terrible French accent on saying the name of the village, San Antonin Noble Val. Like I say, please don't shoot me for my accent. I never said I was brilliant. Our final one. You can't really write about movie destinations in France without mentioning Paris. It's the city of love. It's the city of light. There have been so many movies set here. You know, Amelie, set in mainly in Montmartre, Julie Julia, La Vie en Rose, Moulin Rouge, just to name but a few. But my favourite, and the one I want to talk about, is Midnight in Paris. And it stars Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams. And if you've not watched it, you're missing out. Now, I love this Woody Allen movie because it indulges my obsession with Paris in the golden age of the 1920s. So just the thought of being able to step back in time into another era, it just fires the imagination. And it's got a great musical score as well that really draws you in. It's got a lovely mix of Parisian style music and of course some of the roaring 20s classics as well. But the story, it follows Gil Pender, and he's a disillusioned Hollywood screenwriter, and his fiancée Inez, which is played by Rachel McAdams, they're visiting Paris with her parents, and he's struggling to finish his first novel. But he is totally in love with the charm and nostalgia of Paris. And he would move to Paris and be a starving artist. She, on the other hand, has parents who, you know, her mother's a famous interior designer, and there's no way that she would move to Paris and marry a starving artist. Anyway, one night, whilst Gil is wandering the streets of Paris, he is mysteriously transported back in time to the 1920s. He meets artists and writers of the time. So think Ernest Hemingway, Scott Fitzgerald, Pablo Picasso. I mean, can you even begin to imagine that? And he travels back every night at midnight, and he meets and falls in love with Adriana. And she is the muse and lover to some of the most famous artists of the time, including Picasso, Modigliani. And his time travel just continues. And as it goes on, he has to choose between his love for Adriana and his life in the present. Now, if that movie doesn't make you fall in love with Paris and book a trip straight away, I honestly don't know what will. And there's lots of really iconic locations featured in the movie. So the Hotel Bristol, which is where Gil and Inez are staying during their trip. There's a lot of scenes shot here. It's a lovely hotel, beautiful place. But for me, it's the Latin Quarter that I love. In particular, Rue de la Montagne, Saint-Genevieve, because it's this area where Gil sits on the steps of the church, waiting to be transported back in time into the 1920s. As you can tell, I love that movie. Every time I feel like I'm missing Paris and I need a trip, I just want to be immersed in 1920s Paris, I watch that movie. So there you have it. 8 of my favourite movies that have inspired some of my travels in France. And I'd love to hear about some of your favourites. What would you add to that list? You know, feel free to email me and let me know, and I can add them to my list of movies. So all you need to do is go to the website, lifeinruralfrance.com, go to the contact page, and you can email me there using the form or the email address. Yeah, I'd love to know. Now, since I've launched the podcast, I have had quite a few emails from people asking me questions about the Charente, which is the department I live in here in Southwest France. Totally understand why. Not everyone has heard of it. It does play second fiddle to the Dordogne. Dordogne's like Little England or Little Britain. But here in the Charente, there are so many villages in this region that date back 1,000 years or more. They've got colourful history. They take you through the centuries, and they just allow you to imagine life in medieval France. A life where towns shared wells for their water, bread ovens for their baking, you know, where the church ruled the village, and life was actually very hard for the ordinary person. So in the next episode, I'm going to help you to discover 5 of these villages and their place in Charente history. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Life in Rural France podcast. Remember to visit lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast to get notified every time I release a new episode. And if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love you to leave me a review and subscribe. And don't forget to send in your questions for Listener of the Week, where I answer your questions about France in the show. So until the next time, I hope I've filled your life with a sprinkle of French sunshine and a lot of French fun.